Welcome, Scott Grant.
Check, 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 check. Okay, we're good. Okay, great. Yes. Okay, as I was saying, I was not supposed to be here this week. I was supposed to be over in the main service, but when I heard that Carol Lind, one of our pastors, was going to be leaving us to go to Montana, I decided, well, we really need to give her a chance to preach, kind of do a farewell sermon. And it's going to be great, I think. You really need to hear her story. She's going to weave her story into the story of Abigail. And really, it's a journey from despair to triumph of what the Lord can do in a life. And so this is just a way of encouraging you, if you have a chance after this service to go to the main service, it's going to be a special day in the life of Peninsula Bible Church, and all of you are part of that. So I would encourage you this week especially, if you kind of haven't visited in a while or hadn't thought about it, this is going to be a great week. I promise you it's going to be a great week. If you don't like it, you know, I'll give you your money back, okay? So, but because Carol is over there, that gives me a chance to be here. So all in the providence of God, I get to be with you today. Now, the last time I was with you, you were kicking off your study of the Gospel of Mark. And Sherry reminded me that I was in character. I was dressing up as Peter. You might remember that. Some of you were here to try to give you a flavor for the story as a whole. So I have seen now that you have made significant progress in the Gospel of Mark. You are up to chapter 6. This would be unlike the disciples. They have not made significant progress. And our text this morning demonstrates that they have not really made significant progress in the spiritual life. So our text today is going to help us understand maybe where we get a little bit stuck in our own spiritual lives and how we might be able to get unstuck and how we might be able to make progress again in the spiritual life. So turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to begin with a little story of when I think I was about 20 years old. I was invited to go to a mountain cabin with some friends, and I think there were about 8 of us up at this mountain cabin. There was this beautiful lake nearby, and some of the people I knew, some of the people I didn't, and we all congregated there for the weekend, about 8 of us. And one of the individuals who was among us was let's just say a lovely young lady. In fact, she was a stunning young lady that seemed to capture the interest of some of the men, including myself, on this particular weekend jaunt. And I have a best friend who is my best friend to this day who was on that trip, and this is saying something because we are still best friends, even though we are competing for the same woman that weekend. So he was intent on winning her, I don't know, affections, and he was really making a fool out of himself. I wasn't, of course. He was falling all over himself, and I was just, you know, completely relaxed about the whole experience. He said that, okay, we're at this lake. He said if she caught a trout, he would cook the trout for her. Okay? Turns out that she actually caught a trout, and now he had to come through with it. He didn't know how to cook a trout. But he promised that he would do this. He was trying to impress the young lady. And so he cooks this trout, and I swear, by the time he finished with this 12-inch trout, it looked like a little tiny pile of hash browns. Well, I thought that I could do better than that, okay? So I promised her that I would take her out on the rowboat in the morning, just the two of us, okay? So we put in that morning, and it was beautiful. It was glorious. It was like a postcard. I mean, it was glassy, smooth lake. The water was reflecting the beautiful pine trees, and we set out across the lake. And as we were setting out across the lake, I noticed that the pine trees just started moving just a little bit. The leaves started fluttering in the wind just a little bit. And by the time we had reached the other side of the lake, it was gale force winds. Now, the only problem with that is that now I had to turn around the other way and go into the teeth of this fierce headwind. And so I am stroking, I am huffing, I am puffing, and each yard is precious, barely making any progress whatsoever. And maybe by this time, it's a half hour into the return trip, I'm maybe halfway across the lake, and I am just exhausted, huffing and stroking and puffing, and I hear this voice of this beautiful woman coming from the back of the boat, "Can't you row any faster?" Let's just say I lost interest in her at that point. I thought for a second of actually seeing how she could swim. But no, I continued our journey, and we made it to the other side, and I really don't remember anything about her after that. Well, isn't that sort of a metaphor for life? An illustration of what life is like, okay? You start out, there's this hope for something, and then what ends up happening is you end up rowing into the teeth of a fierce headwind, right? I mean, life is like that, right? You're trying to make progress, and you're rowing into the teeth of this fierce headwind, and in addition to all that, you hear this voice of discouragement, and it's like impossible to make progress, it seems like. Well, in our text today, that's sort of what it's like for the disciples of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, let's look at it in three little sections. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. We're going to look at 45 to 48, first of all. You looked last week at the feeding of the 5,000. This comes immediately after that. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, just like me, right? Straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. Okay, he was about to pass them by. So a few reflections here. And by the way, a little bit later, I'll open it up to kind of some of your input as well. But, here are the disciples struggling. They're trying to make it across to the other side. Jesus has sent them, in fact. You go on to the other side. And then there's this fierce headwind. And then Jesus comes to them, amazingly enough, walking on the water, striding the waves of creation. Now you think, the way the story is set up, that he's coming to rescue them. Their life isn't threatened, unlike an earlier episode. You may remember that from earlier in the Gospel of Mark, when they were threatened by the waves and the wind, and their boat was being swamped. Then Jesus was in the boat with them and stopped the waves and stopped the wind. So we think that Jesus is making his way across the water in order to rescue the disciples, but lo, instead, he is passing them by. That's his intention, to walk right on by. Now, Wesley and that wonderful choir sang for you some of those great hymns of the faith, those great hymns of the church. One of them is, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Do not pass me by." There's that request, while on others you are waiting, thou art waiting, while on others thou art waiting, do not pass me by. And yet here the gentle Savior looks as if he's going to pass right on by. And we ask ourselves, what's up with that? Now, we might ask ourselves, why does Jesus go for a stroll on the lake? I mean, was Jesus sitting up there praying with God and he sees what their problem is? He can see out either supernaturally or in the early morning light. He can see these disciples of his straining at the oars. And, I'll just go out on the lake tonight, give the boys a thrill. Just walk on by. Let them, see some this kind of miracle. Maybe that's what they really need to see. No, that's not what it's about. Jesus is demonstrating his mastery over creation. by walking on the sea. His mastery over evil, because in the Jewish conception, this is where evil sprung from. The monsters of evil come from the sea. They are worried about the sea. And now Jesus is demonstrating his mastery over the sea, his mastery over evil. He is demonstrating what, in fact, he came to do. He comes to the earth in order to defeat sin. He comes to earth in order to defeat evil. That's the nature of his mission. So he's allowing his disciples to get a glimpse of who he is and the nature of his mission. And this is something they are struggling with. They don't understand that Jesus has come to defeat evil in the biggest cosmic, global sense imaginable. You know, most of the Jews kind of thought, well, if you're going to defeat evil here, here's our little local evil here. Get rid of the Romans. But that's, of course, not what Jesus came to do. And the disciples and many of the Jews are having trouble understanding that that's the nature of his mission. So you'd think that Jesus might be coming to help them with the whole wind situation, help them to make progress. Instead, he looks like as if he's going to be passing them by. Do they really need help at the oars? Or do they need help in understanding who Jesus is and what he came to do? Do they need help in making their way across the lake? Or do they need help in understanding who Jesus is and what he came to do? This is the help they need, or at least this is the help that Jesus has determined that they need at this time, so he walks on the sea, showing them who he is and what he came to do. Of course, they are scared by all of this. For us then, doesn't it seem in life as if you are trying to make your way through life sort of like rowing across the lake and that something is holding you back? Perhaps there is a fierce headwind that you are rowing into. There's some sort of obstacles in your life that don't seem to get out of the way. And it may seem that you really can't see Jesus at this time. In the darkness, while the wind is blowing, while everything is against you, you can't see Jesus. But it's important to note here that Jesus sees you. He's up on the mountain. He's praying to the Father. He sees the disciples. Whatever you're going through, if you feel as if you can't see Jesus, Jesus sees you. He knows exactly what your situation is. He knows exactly what you need. And you might think, okay, well, Jesus, do not pass me by. And yet, sometimes it seems as if he is passing you by. But is it possible that you want a certain kind of help in life, that you want Jesus, if Jesus is the Messiah, if Jesus is the Savior, that you would expect Jesus to give you this particular kind of help and that he doesn't give you that particular kind of help, maybe because you need another kind of help? Is it possible that Jesus helps you by not helping you? For example, I have two little girls. I know that at certain times, the best thing that I can do for them, the best way I can help them, is by not helping them. They have to learn that way. They have to learn on their own. So I have to hold myself back oftentimes. It's very hard for me to do that, but I have to hold myself back so that my girls can learn how to walk on their own, so that my girls can learn how to do things on their own. Sometimes the best way to help someone is by not helping them the way they want to be helped. Jesus helps you oftentimes by not helping you the way you want to be helped. How do you need to be helped? In this text, what we derive from this is that what you need to do is to see Jesus in a new light. You need to see Jesus for who he is. You need to see Jesus for who he is and what he came to do. And that's, we have the blinders on about that. We have a particular vision of how our life is supposed to go and how Jesus is supposed to help us, and we don't really see who he is and what he came to do. We don't really see the big, huge, global, cosmic picture of all of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And Jesus, from time to time, doesn't help us in order to help us, in order to give us that glimpse of who he is. And let me tell you, when you get a glimpse of Jesus and who he is and what he came to do and what he came to do for you that is so much better than your vision for yourself, that makes life worthwhile. That makes everything worth it. I tell you, in my life, those precious times when God has given me a glimpse of Jesus, it makes everything worth it. Oh, that's what I'm living for, to be able to see Jesus and appreciate him for who he is, and to be able to have a relationship with him and to have an intimacy with him and to feel that he loves me and to know that he loves me and he cares for me and he has this huge global vision for me to be involved in this world, to be involved in the entire new creation that he's bringing about. And when you get a glimpse of that and you really appreciate that, you just kind of just fall on your knees before God and say, oh my goodness, what was it that I was wanting again? Sometimes Jesus helps us by not helping us in order to show us who he is. And here, it's in the middle of the night, it's dark, they are rowing against a fierce headwind, and it is oftentimes in the darkest nights that the best spiritual insights come, isn't it? When you are the most depressed, when you are at your lowest moment, when it is the darkest around you, that's when you get these spiritual insights that stay with you forever. In the darkest night, oftentimes, come the best spiritual insight. Okay, my first question for you, let me just open it up. Okay, I think what our text does at this point is asks us, how have we seen Jesus in a new light? How have we, in our lives, seen and appreciated Jesus for who he is and what he has come to do in a new light? Perhaps we had this idea of what Jesus was all about and who he was, and then we received some insight somehow, as if Jesus were passing by as opposed to getting in the boat and stopping the wind. He's passing by, maybe in the darkness, maybe when we were depressed, and we saw Jesus. Anybody have any experience like that they'd want to share this morning? Some appreciation of Jesus and who he is and how you came to know him or came to appreciate him in some way?
Well, Scott, this is something I ponder often. 2006, my sister passed away. One of the things my dad had told me was that my sister didn't feel God's presence. She felt that her prayers, were going unanswered.
Yeah.
In 2007, I came down. And I've been taking care of folks since that time. And I started going to the step study. I was attracted by friends that I've made in R&R and Step Closer. And what I learned was, because I had to admit that, hey, Dad, and I didn't tell Dad this, but I understand what Pat's saying, because I kind of feel the distance too. And so what that drove me toward was to get in the Word and then joining this group on, I think it was in Tuesday night, and to understand that Jesus has been right there. Yeah. I closed the door.
Yeah.
And in our discipleship group this last year, to understand that we have Christ's Spirit in us, mm-hmm. and that was like a wow for me.
Hmm.
And so what I'm experiencing now is fear at some of the things that are going on, but an understanding that with me. It's not that I need to be concerned. I am concerned, but I don't need to fret, like it says so often in the Psalms. And what a joy. And so my speaking with him is more two-way now, especially when I'm letting him talk through his word.
Yeah. And I think that's an example of some of the best spiritual insights coming at dark times, right? Yeah. Right back here. Yeah.
You know, and that was the bottom line, because I couldn't believe that I had taken this step, and all of a sudden, what should have been light was total darkness.
Yeah.
Okay. I came down here about 2.5 years ago, and I decided I was brought here for a reason, and I took that on literally, you know, and I stepped into this room, and from that day on, I started seeing what the whole picture was about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's God, that's the Spirit helping you see reality. And that's one of the things we don't want to see oftentimes. We don't want to see reality. The Spirit helps us see reality. And with Jesus and reality together, that's the beautiful place to be, right? Aaron.
Yeah, it was...
Aaron was... Mark.
A spiritual event that I was blind to for 7 years. It was June 4th, 2000. It was the night that my son passed away. I had lost my wife and my mother within the last 4 months. And the pain and the darkness, too much.
Yeah.
I got up there about 10, and I had a pistol, and I was gonna, you know, it was too much for me. I was gonna kill myself. I wasn't religious. I didn't know Jesus, but I was sitting there on that dam thinking to myself, God, if there is a God, and I do this, I'll never see my son again.
Yeah.
But I can't take this pain.
Yeah.
But if I do this, I can't see my, but the pain is too big. What do I do?
Yeah.
I don't know, from 10 o'clock 3 o'clock in the rain, 40 miles from the nearest electricity, this guy comes walking up. And it's a guy I hadn't seen for 2 years. And, he's like, and imagine this, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's a quarter mile high down to the dam. He had seen my car, he pulled over, he wanted to see what was up. When I told him, he took me home, got me home, got me dried up. Believe it or not, they put a meth pipe in my face. First time I ever did meth. Tunnel and put together my last funeral for my son. That, you know, I was sitting there talking to God, not knowing that I was talking to God. And Jesus answered me immediately by putting somebody in my presence. The problem is, I feel like I was the disciples. I wasn't getting it
at
all.
Yeah.
That there was help there, and I just needed to. It took me 7 years and a trip to prison before I could reflect back on that and say that was a divine intervention.
And the disciples have that experience really after the resurrection. They're able to look back and be able to, and then their lives become changed. Let's do one more, and then I got to get back to the story. Mark was wanting to say something.
Changed my life. And at the same time, there was my relationship with my soon-to-be divorced wife was just like, I didn't know what to do with that. And I didn't know how God was going to do anything with that. And she accepted Christ. And we started looking at each other quite a bit differently. But there was a lot of pain underneath. And I remember we went to this Weekend to Remember thing. And we were, you know, we had no idea how we were going to put this marriage back together. At least I didn't. And she was just sort of going along with this thing. And it was at this one point where they said, stand up and look into the eyes of your wife. And I remember standing there and experiencing and seeing Jesus looking through her, loving me through her eyes.
Yeah.
And it changed everything from then on. I mean, there was an answer that just settled in my heart completely, that I knew that God was loving me my wife.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that changed the path of where we were going.
Yeah. That's great. You see these three stories that each of you have shared? You see how connected they are to the text? And really this is life here. So you want to keep your nose in this book and bring your life to this book and find this book reflecting your life and find the answers for your life in this book. So let's continue the story, verse 49. Let's go 49 to 52. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. That's the previous story. They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So they are completely amazed. They are utterly astonished. Now, Mark, our author, would have us believe that, that's the wrong response. There's a way to be amazed at Jesus, go, wow, look how great he is, and there's a way to be amazed like, oh, he could never do anything like that. You know, that's the kind of amazed that they are right here. They are utterly astonished. So that what Mark would have us believe is what they're really supposed to be is they're supposed to be reflective on who Jesus is. What is this that we have seen here today about the Lord that impacts us? What new insight have we gathered? How could we be reflective about that as opposed to simply being bewildered beyond belief? That seems to be their experience, being bewildered beyond belief. And so what is it that the disciples wanted? They wanted a little help. They didn't want a whole new world. Here is this vision of Jesus striding the waves of creation, the Lord of creation, the master of creation, who has come to defeat evil. That's the vision they get of Jesus. It's huge. It's awesome. It's a little bit scary, too, I think, to be able to see someone in that light, to be encountering that sort of power, that sort of demonstration of who he is. And I think that, you know, for most of us, we probably don't want a whole new world. We just want a little bit of help in our own little world. Just help me make my little world work. Jesus' vision for us and for the whole world and for all creation is so grand and so awesome that sometimes we just don't, you show me that, and God, I recoil from that. And really what I want to do is hold on to my world. I don't want to submit to a Savior who's going to rock my world. And that's often what, that's really what Jesus has come to do, change the world, rock the world, shake us up, and change the way we look at life. And I think we tend not to want that. We tend to want things safe. We tend to want, okay, just still the waves a little bit, and calm down the wind, and let me just kind of row across the lake. Let me enjoy my time with this lovely lady. You know, just let me do that, you know? And the Jesus' vision is just bigger and sometimes just scarier than what we want to be in touch with. We want smooth seas, but what the disciples are given here, what the disciples are given is an opportunity to see Jesus in a new light. Do we want simply smooth seas in life to be able to make our way effortlessly through life? Or do we want an opportunity to see Jesus in a new light? Maybe that's what we really need. Maybe that's what Jesus is giving us in those dark times, in the middle of the night, when the fierce winds are pushing against us. Maybe what Jesus is giving us is an opportunity to see him in a new light, and maybe that's what we need, as opposed to what we think we need. Verses 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. So the way Mark sets up this narrative as sort of a compare and contrast, here is the disciples' experience of Jesus, and here is the locals' experience of Jesus, where Jesus lands, here's how they experience him, here's how they perceive him, versus here's how the disciples are perceiving him. The disciples are utterly astonished, but the locals have this response to Jesus. They have been able to learn from what they have experienced of Jesus in the past. And if you track with the narrative up to this point, you realize that in the past, people have touched Jesus' cloak and been healed, and they've brought pallets to him, and people have been raised from their pallets. And so here these people have experienced and seen this of Jesus in the past, and they are responding to what they have learned, and they are recognizing Jesus, whereas the disciples earlier were not recognizing Jesus. So here's the help, I think, ultimately, that the disciples need. They need to see other people who are perceiving Jesus. They need to see other people who are responding to him and learn from that. And isn't that oftentimes what we need? We're in our own little rowboats trying to make sense of the world, trying to trust Jesus in the darkness, trying to see him in the darkness. He looks like a ghost. We want to be terrified out of our minds. And it's hard, just all by ourselves, to figure it all out. Then you rowed ashore, so to speak, and there are a whole bunch of other people who are seeing Jesus and responding to him, and that helps us. You see, Jesus not only helps us by revealing to us who he is, he reveals himself to us through other people. And that's one of the things Aaron was just, or I think it was Mark who was sharing. He saw Jesus in his wife, right? He couldn't see Jesus all, you know, it didn't make sense. But he sees somebody else responding to Jesus. He sees the face of Jesus in somebody else, right? That oftentimes is the help that we need. We need to see others who are responding to Jesus. In the middle of the storm, Jesus reveals himself to us, and then he oftentimes helps us understand who he is by virtue of the way other people are responding to him. So, second question for today is, how have you been helped to understand who Jesus is by seeing how others have responded to him? Yeah, Marcus.
Can I see where the disciples are? Because I've seen God's miracles throughout my life.
Yeah.
But they're rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They see him walking right past them, but they're worried about the wolves.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like me. I God has been providing for me for these last 2 years. I haven't had a full-time job that lasts maybe 2 or 3 months, but he's provided for me.
Right.
You know, and I still just don't get it sometimes because I want to control my life. And
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Even though I'm doing well in college, I don't have a full-time job, but he's been providing for me. He's been blessing me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Marcus. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? I got more than a handful of people in this area right here with me right now that I have looked at as guides, as mentors, as sponsors, okay, that I truly, truly appreciate in my life, that have given me direction, okay, have actually said some things out of the norm that I would have done where just the fact that he has showed me through them, okay, mm-hmm. okay, what Christ really is, has allowed me to have direction in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
That's great. Yeah. Let's get somebody else back there. Yeah.
And you're saying that we see Jesus in other people?
Yeah.
In the past few months and the past few weeks, I'm isolated. Some things are going on in my life that are overwhelming me.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Right here.
I myself, my wife died a couple of months ago, and it just really wrecked me. Mm-hmm. And I went into this program that's a pretty intense program. It's a drug and alcohol program with the VA. And it's like the first month there, I was so shattered, I was on what we call I and C's, issues and concerns, because I couldn't remember a thing. And so I come to R&R and ask for prayer, and I'm praying myself, and it's just amazing. It's remarkable to me, because now, you know, I get up each morning and I pray for the will of God. I just want to do his will, not mine. Mm-hmm. My mind's just all together, and just everything's going right for me. I have a job now that's in 2 weeks when I leave the program, I'm going to be working with the computer. computer firm because of my past experience, and I know it's all because of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It just all doesn't fall into place like that quick.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So it's really remarkable. And then I come and hear this, and it's every time it's a message every time I come here. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah, amen. That's great. Yeah, over here.
Yeah, I think that's what's so great about R&R and Step Closer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that's one of the strengths of community, and especially the strengths of this community, is when you see, because so many of you are very open about what you're seeing or not seeing, or what your struggles are, or what, and how you are seeing Jesus, and that when you see that in a life of somebody else, you go, oh, I see Jesus now. Yeah. Yeah, Bruce. Yeah.
Just amazing changes that they probably don't even see themselves. And to actually be included in that or part of it and watch it, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the best life I can possibly
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
So, I see Jesus working in all the people's lives around me just overwhelmingly. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, Shannon.
Men, I don't see the past. I see the new creation. And it's so exciting because God is raising up leaders. He's mm-hmm. raising up mighty men, which mm-hmm. we need, you know. And it's just, it's thrilling to me to mm-hmm. see that. You know, it's so visible. It's,
yeah.
They're totally transformed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're in the process, and we're all in the process, you know, that's
yeah.
pretty exciting.
Let me say, yeah, okay, here, Bob.
When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, 2 weeks later, I was thinking, so what?
Yeah.
Nothing happened. I followed the people in this room to do what they did. And after a few months, it was like, okay, now I get
yeah.
it.
What yeah. Yeah. Let me share... As I think about some of you in this room and what you are going through and how this text might relate, I think, the whole recovery thing, right? Most of you are here probably because you've had some issue with drugs or alcohol, something like that, and you're trying to get off that. And I would imagine that you would want Jesus' help with that, right? You would want Jesus to help you do that. And certainly he does, but oftentimes, it's not easy, is it? The help he gives doesn't make it a snap. Now, sometimes that happens. I know people just, I'll pray to the Lord. I don't want another drink for the rest of my life. I know one guy was driving down the road, had the pack of cigarettes, opened down the window, said, I'm never touching one of these things again. Lord, help me. Throws the thing out the window. Never craved tobacco ever again. That does happen. Not very often, but it does happen. And so you come to Jesus and you say, okay, Jesus, help me with this. And there might be a real flurry of enthusiasm or excitement for some people when they initially come to Christ and think, oh, now I'm going to be able to get off the stuff, you know, and you relapse, you go out again, it happens again, and it's not so easy. You find yourself, so to speak, in the middle of the ocean or the middle of the sea. The wind is pressing against you, and Jesus doesn't seem to be giving you the help that you want. It doesn't make it easy. He walks by, so to speak. Now, eventually he gets in the boat in this story, but that's not his intention. His intention was to walk by to give you a glimpse of who he is. Now, if you get a glimpse for who he is, if you get a new perspective on who he is, doesn't that change your perspective on whatever your predicament is? Right? So doesn't that actually help you in your predicament if you get a glimpse, if you appreciate Jesus for who he is and what he came to do? And how much he loves you. He might not be giving you all the help, the kind of help that you want in getting off the stuff. He may not be doing everything you want there. But he wants you to wrestle with him and to walk with him and to struggle with him. And in the struggle and in the wrestling, you see something of who he is. As opposed to him snapping the fingers or waving the magic wand. You get to be you know, have that experience with Jesus, going through that thing with Jesus, as opposed to simply, oh, I'm going to let God do this, and boy, oh, that's easy, no problem whatsoever. You know, not many people have that experience, to be honest with you. Jesus wants something better for you. He wants something deeper for you. For most of us, that's the journey that he has for us. You know, to be kind of slugging it out there in the ocean. And then landing and then seeing some people who are responding to Jesus and going, oh, that's how it could be. I could trust Jesus with all of this stuff. I could see him in some new light that is very helpful for me. I wanted to close by reading a quote to you that's been meaningful to me. And this was a Larry Crabb is an author, writer, psychologist. And he was speaking one time, and he finished, and this 84-year-old man came up to him afterwards and wanted to have this word with him. And he said this, Dr. Crabb, I'm 84 years old. 5 years ago, my wife died after 51 years of a good marriage. I cannot express the pain that I feel every morning as I drink my coffee at the kitchen table alone. I have begged God to relieve the terrible loneliness that I feel. He has not answered my prayer. Now, your plight may be somewhat different. Not many of you here have had a 51-year marriage and then lost your wife or lost your husband. But your pain is just like this guy's pain. And this is what we all have in common, by the way. Whether you are on drugs or not on drugs or alcohol, whether you've had that experience or not, pain is our common lot in one form or another. That's one of the things that brings us together. And then for those of us in the church, we find something in Jesus for our pain that brings us together. So this man prayed that God would relieve the pain, but the Lord did not answer his prayer. But listen to this. Here's what he also said. So he says this, and then he pauses. And it's as if he's looking right past Larry Crabb, and he says this. God has given me something far better than relief for my pain, Dr. Crabb. He has given me a glimpse of Christ. And it's worth it all. Whenever you preach, make much of Christ. And with that, the man just walked away. He has given me a glimpse of Christ. Whenever you preach, make much of Christ. And I take that to heart, that when I preach, I try to make much of Christ. I try to give you a glimpse of Christ. I can't do it. Only God can do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. But if you get a glimpse of Christ in the middle of your pain, that's what's worth it all, right? So I hope this morning that what we have received by the Holy Spirit is a glimpse of Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, so grateful for these men and women in this room. Today, I think all of us are sort of feeling like we're in the middle of the sea and the winds are pressing against us and it's hard to make progress. We're fighting for yards and it seems like it's two steps forward, one step back. But in the middle of this struggle, Lord, would you show us yourself? Would you reveal yourself to us? And then, I think, so to speak, we land once in a while and we see others who are responding to Jesus. Would you give us that vision as well, seeing how others are responding to Jesus so that we might respond to him as well? In Christ's name, amen.